And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to go to the reading from the prophet Isaiah chapter 61, and the print's a little small on the screen. Remember that it's also printed in your bulletins, or you can pull out the Bibles in the pew, but it's Isaiah 61, 10 and 11, where we hear these words again. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. And here ends this text. Well, certainly in Scripture, we hear a number of times about clothing. Have you ever thought in this season of shopping, and boy, I'm glad that Lindy's the shopper in our family. That's not my favorite thing to do. But have you ever thought that God is a shopper? Now, understand it correctly, but when we think about God providing for us clothing, he has really gone shopping in a way. And the way that he has purchased this clothing, very special clothing for us, is through the gift of his son, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood upon the cross for the sins of all people. And in so doing, offers a garment of salvation and a robe of righteousness, has one for every single human being that has ever lived, is living, or will live, but it's through faith that we actually receive this garment when it is put on our lives. And as Angela wonderfully shared with the little ones this morning, clothing means a lot of things. And our clothing really defines whose we are as well as who we are. And I've just got a few illustrations, and Angela used some of these. We'll have them visually up on the screen. Now, if you see a gentleman like that out on the street, do you have to think very long about who that might be, what they do in their lives? Some of you may know Jerry personally. This is Jerry Garner. He is the chief of police here in Greeley. Or how about this next one? Do you have to just say, I wonder who those guys are, or I wonder what they do, or how about this next one? Don't have to guess, do you? There's a surgeon, or how about the next one? Boy, mechanics, they all look kind of similar, don't they? And I got to thinking, most wear blue shirts, don't they? And generally they have their name on their shirt, and also the name of the business, like those guys and gals do, that represents where they work. It's clear whose they are and who they are in the jobs that they do. Or how about this last one? This is kind of cool. This is a Southwest captain, and he is handing a bottle of champagne to the millionth passenger that he has personally flown as a captain of a commercial airline. But again, when we see those uniforms, we don't have to stand back and think about it for a while. Just instantly, by the clothing they wear, we know whose they are. And Southwest has their little emblem on their cap, so you know right away, yeah, commercial airline pilot, but also whose? Well, it's Southwest. Well, it's no different for us as Christians, because God has blessed us to wear special clothing that he has purchased for you and me. And it is the garments of salvation, and it's a robe of righteousness. That you could look upon as our uniform as God's people. But here's the question for us this morning. Does our uniform, does what we wear reveal whose we are and who we are? You see, what's tragic in the world in which you and I live is there are impersonators of a lot of professional people. Has anybody ever impersonated a police officer? I remember a few years ago, I think it was a patrolman, was going up and down I-80s pulling people over and wasn't a patrolman at all, impersonating a law officer, and was doing it to really attack people and to do great harm to people. And so a horrible impersonator of an officer of the law. Or can you imagine being on a commercial flight and you learn that the pilot is just an impersonator? Well, fortunately, planes fly themselves, so maybe if it was programmed right, it'd be all right. Probably not, though. But that makes me think of Frank Abagnale. Anybody know Frank? Yeah. And the movie Catch Me If You Can, remember that movie? And it's based on a true story. Frank was a teenager. His parents went through a divorce, and he was just brokenhearted and distraught. He ran away from home at age 15, and it was in New York City. Had to figure out a way to make a living, and he became very good at fraud. Impersonated airline pilots, not to fly the plane, but simply to travel free wherever he needed to go, so he didn't have to pay for that. He impersonated a doctor, worked in an emergency room at a hospital, and he made quite a bit of money to support himself there. And then he got into writing fraudulent checks and made millions. And of course, he got caught, and good ending to the story. He used his skills to help the FBI to catch other people in doing that same thing. But impersonation is a horrible and very hurtful thing. And Frank, if you look him up on YouTube, he's got some tremendous talks. And one thing he consistently says, I am just so ashamed of what I did and the people that I hurt in the past. Well, what about us as Christians? Are we genuine or are we impersonators? And you know, we really have to look in the mirror of God's law to really come up with that answer. And so when you look in the mirror of God's law, and this is a very personal thing for each one of us, what do you see? Who do you see looking back at you in that mirror? You may say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, we're here this morning. We're members of Trinity Lutheran Church. Or for our visitors, we're members of whatever congregation, and we worship on a regular basis. And boy, you ought to look in the books, because we give great offerings to the church. And you're really telling me to look in a mirror and to question whether I'm an impersonator or not? Well, the question is, what's really in your heart? You know, we can have that visible uniform like Frank Abagnale, look very professional. But what's really in the heart? Whose are you really? Who are you really? And you know, we could maybe, just from the epistle reading this morning, just kind of put a standard there for us to consider. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there it is. There's a description of our clothing, of what that causes us to appear like. And let me ask you this, do you have a joyful spirit? Do you have a joyful spirit, really? Do you pray without ceasing? And that doesn't mean we're, you know, in the sanctuary on our knees 24/7. But it means that we have a prayerful spirit, that when we go about our lives, our life is really one of prayer. It's one of submitting to God's will, seeking God's will, praising God. Just, it's our life. It's who we are when we have the clothing the Lord provides to us. Or how about giving thanks in all circumstances? Whoa, that's a tough one. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do you have an attitude of gratitude in your life? Or how about this one? Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Have you ever quenched the Spirit in another person? You know, and what that means is just to, like, pouring water on a fire. You know, there's this beautiful burning fire, and you've got a bucket of water. You just pour it on there to try and douse it out. And, oh, that is so discouraging if we do that to another person. Someone that's excited about the gifts that they have to serve and to share within a body of Christ like our family here at Trinity. And imagine if they're all excited and just putting their whole heart into what they're doing to the glory of God, and people are over there snickering. Look at them. Look what they're doing. And it happens in every church family, and it can be very discouraging. Is that the clothing that God has given us? Or how about somebody that's just bubbling over with joy? Do you know that Lindy, years ago, I forget who the person was, but she was working at a certain place and just always bubbly like Lindy is. And this person glared at her and said, "You are a fraud. You can't be that happy all the time. Why don't you just be honest and not be..." Can you imagine somebody saying that to you? And they said it to Lindy. Lindy got really sick a few years ago with the vertigo thing. It went on for almost a year. And I remember our lovely neighbor Judith said, "You know, Greg, I bet it's hard not having bubbly with you every day." And it was. That was a tough time. But how discouraging when somebody's just flowing with joy and it's pouring out and you get glared at for being joyful. But it happened. And sadly, even within the church. To quench the Spirit in another is a horrible thing to do. And just an evil stare or a shunning can do that. But what about even in ourselves? Do we do it to ourselves? Do we quench the Spirit in our own lives? And, you know, we can easily do that if we put God's grace in a cabinet. You know, and you ever get into that mode of thinking, I don't really need God right now. Things are going great. You know, I'm just going to park God in a cabinet for a while. Don't really need to go to worship. Don't really need to be in His Word. Don't really need to be nurtured by His Supper. I can do it. And you know what we do is we quench the Spirit. Or another one here, do not despise prophecies. And prophecies here primarily means proclamation of the word, preaching. Do not despise preaching. Remember one time I was with a fellow pastor, and they were going on and on about how they'd been on this trip and they'd been to another Lutheran church, and, "Oh, this pastor was so boring in his preaching." And he went on and on about how horrible this sermon was. Not because it wasn't true to God's word, but because of the presentation. And I just wanted to punch him out. Honestly, it's not about the preacher, but it's about the word being proclaimed. I can remember in the Catholic Church growing up, I've shared this story before, a 40-minute sermon. I'm a seventh grader, and I'm locked in. I'm just like this. It's like I haven't heard this before. It was a visiting priest. And I never understood it at the time, but what I heard that day was grace. And me, the seventh grader, locked in, and somebody in their 50s behind me, "Oh my God, is he ever going to shut up?" He said that out loud in the sanctuary. Dear friends, that's despising prophecy. And that's a serious thing, because the Spirit provides that prophecy. Do not quench the Spirit. So as we look in that mirror of God's law, are we truly whose and who being are we representing that by the clothing that we wear? How do you measure up? And I ask myself the same thing. Are we impersonators? And sadly, I have to confess, yes. Every one of us is an impersonator in the sense that we are all sinful. We never live up to the standard of the clothing the Lord provides. Saint and what? Sinner. But you know the good news is that the Lord still places this garment on us. He still gives to us and purchases at a huge price for us this perfect clothing. It's clothing that you can't go and buy at a local clothing store. It's clothing that you can't buy at all. It's not made by hands on earth. No, it's only made in heaven. And it's the clothing that Angela shared with the kids. It's that garment that we receive, that clothing we receive in baptism. And Galatians 3, 26 and 7, I love this passage. Look at that. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. So it's through faith that we receive the clothing. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have what? Clothed yourselves with Christ. When we are baptized, God's promise is we receive this new clothing. A gift, and it's given to us, but it was purchased at a horrendous price. And we see the story of the purchase right before us in this scene. The manger scene, and Jesus wrapped in those swaddling clothes, but he came for the purpose of the cross, and one day he would go there and die for the sins of all people. In fact, not only physically die, but he would receive all of God's wrath and anger, all of it, on himself, who is the perfect one, because of our imperfection, because of our sin. And he did that for us, and he says, now, I want you to have this perfect clothing. And so he covers our lives with this clothing. You know, I could have a shirt on this morning that's greasy and grimy and stains all over it, and you wouldn't know, right? Because I've got this garment on, and it covers it. But that's the reality of all of us. We all have that filthy, ugly sin, but the Lord covers it with his perfectness, with Jesus' clothing. We couldn't receive a better gift than what God has given us. And you know, the really awesome thing about this clothing is it enables us to take on the character of the clothing. By being clothed with Christ, we are empowered to grow and to mature. We're never going to be perfect to the clothing we wear until we're in heaven, but we're on a journey that hopefully our life of sanctification, of striving to live a godly life, is an upward curve. It's getting better as we mature in the faith. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I'm skipping one on the sound, guys. Now may the God of peace himself, look at this, sanctify you completely. So make you holy completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless. Notice it doesn't say sinless. Blameless. Meaning that we are forgiven of our sin until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Isaiah 61, we heard these words. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. When we plant a seed, we can't make it grow, but God does. And when he plants the seed of faith in our lives, we cannot but grow in our life of godliness and holiness by the grace of God. It is time, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that we take it up a notch in representing the uniform, the clothing that we wear. Whether it's a police officer, Samantha's one of our members, please pray for first responders. They are so degraded by our culture today. And Samantha came in the other day, and you know what she had to deal with? Just in 1 week. First responder to a six-year-old who got hung up on a swing set chain and choked to death. And she comes on the scene. Another one, a semi was hit by a train. The driver is locked in the truck and he's dying, and she was there holding his hand through the twisted metal, comforting him and watching him die. There's an officer who is genuine to the uniform they wear. Well, God has blessed us with this precious gift of clothing. May we emanate the joy. And our daughter Sarah is here today, and we prayed for her, you last week, Sarah, being engaged. What an exciting time. And you know that joy, right? And isn't it interesting? In this text, the Lord uses that example as a bride adorns herself. You know, just that joy that comes natural. It's part of who you are in the midst of what is going on in your life. And it's part of who we are in the midst of what's going in our lives as God's people. And gratitude, whenever we think about God's blessings, how can we not but be thankful? And to be an encouragement and a support to one another. When somebody is using their gifts and they're giving it all, be there to cheer them on and say, wow, this is awesome. God has given you this gift and you're using it. And oh, what a blessing. And I tell you what, in a short while, if everybody's doing that, you are going to see a place that is just on fire. And to be nurtured, we need the nurturing of being in worship on a regular basis, of hearing God's word, of being in fellowship to uphold and support and encourage one another, and most of all, to grow in God's word. Well, God has outdone everyone in the area of shopping. He has given us the greatest gift that could ever be given, his own son. And Jesus, he has purchased for us clothing that is life-giving and is life-sustaining. I love that picture. That person is receiving the robe of righteousness. Well, what are we going to do with it? What a wonderful time of the year to show others the greatest gift, the one that Angela presented to the kids. That little babe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who has been given to the world, lying in a manger, and who gives life for eternity. In his precious name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus, our Lord, who died for us, who lives for us. Amen.